time now for Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Good morning, everybody. I'm back. I missed you last week. I was out in Cleveland. And as we all know, the heart of rock and roll is in Cleveland. And while I was out there, I had an opportunity to visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. In fact, my guest this morning also went with me and three other classmates. So we had a great time. And I was attending, while I was out there, an advanced mediumship class with Sharon Klingler, who is an extraordinary medium. And just a wonderful teacher, and learned so much this week. It was so good for me, and it always is a big boost to my mediumship, and I look forward to using all the things that Sharon reviewed with us as I go forward. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And also, I am so happy to have Dan Johnson join us this morning, my Heart of Rock and Roll Museum buddy. But Dan, who I had met before in Lilydale, is a psychic medium and a certified professional tarot reader. So he's been communicating with spirit for over 20 years for clients in the U.S. and abroad. He has trained with renowned mediums Lisa Williams, Sharon Klingler, and Bill Collar, as well as the Psychic Science Spiritualist Church and Lilydale Spiritualist Camp. In fact, if you visited Lilydale during the summer, you may have seen him giving readings at the Stump and at the Forest Temple. He's also a certified professional tarot reader. He's been studying tarot since 1993 and has been giving tarot readings for clients in the U.S. and Canada since 1996. An ordained minister in the Church of Prophecy, Dan studied tarot in Jacqueline Small's Eusekia Mystery School. I'm sure I didn't say that right, Dan. as well as with tarot authorities Mary Greer, Geraldine Emeril, Rachel Pollack, and the New York Tarot School, and the builders of the Adityam BOTA. He is a member of the American Tarot Association, where he has mentored students interested in improving their tarot reading skills. In addition to his spiritual work, Dan is a consultant, trainer, and coach who has worked with business leaders and teams throughout the world. He earned the Certified Excellence in Coaching designation through the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching and is certified in Relationship Systems Coaching from the Center for Right Relationship. His interest in psychology was furthered when he went through extensive three-year training to become a certified Gestalt practitioner through the Indianapolis Gestalt Institute. His intuitive abilities and tarot experience has led to appearances on WISH-TV News and WIBC Radio in Indianapolis, Indiana, as well as guest speaking engagements at national and local bookstores, Wild Oats Market, New Age People, and various churches and spiritual groups. So, Dan, we are so pleased to have you join us here this morning on WHVR.
What a delight it is to hear your voice and experience you again, Jack. It's
just oh, well, thank you.
A few days since we last met. It's always wonderful to be in your presence. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you. So I'm just so tickled to have you come on here. And so we'll talk a little bit about your mediumship. And then we're going to talk about tarot, because I have to admit that is one thing I don't know much about. You know, I've done a lot of types of readings. And I guess for me, I just have never found somebody in my area that I felt comfortable with. And that's sort of my first rule. I've done mediumship, astrology readings, angel readings, runes, but I just never have connected to somebody with tarot. And that's sort of my first rule. And I always tell people that when you're looking for a medium, you know, there's lots of talented mediums in our area. Look for the one that you connect with, the one that you feel comfortable with. You know, the same thing goes for when you're picking doctors and lawyers, hairstylists, anything.
Right.
You know, trust your gut, trust your intuition. So this
exactly.
is particularly a treat for me this morning. So let's talk, before we get into the tarot, now tell me how mediumship got started for you, Dan, and how you opened up to that.
Actually, it came through doing a tarot reading for a client years ago. She came to me wanting to heal the loss of a loved one, and it happened to be her nephew, and during the reading, her nephew popped into the reading and started having messages for her.
Oh, isn't that wild? I love how that happened for you. So
yeah.
They were definitely connected. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, oftentimes I'll mix the two, or two will pop up depending on what mode I'm using. So he was speaking through the cards, and then all of a sudden he just started speaking to me directly. And I always had an interest in mediumship, but I never went to it directly. I always thought I would get it through the cards. So that's where it first started. That was probably about 14 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, that was probably fascinating for you to realize, hey, wait a minute, this isn't coming through the cards. This is coming directly to me.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun. And we were both a little freaked out at the moment, and then it turned into be something very, very cool. And it's a reading I'll always, always remember.
Yeah, it's just so healing when people come through. You know, it's like you said, at first, it maybe just sort of surprises you. And then, like, when you hear the message, it's so comforting. You know, you're just so glad that you allowed it to come through.
And Since then, I've learned that it's the most natural thing on the planet. We are swimming in spirit, whether we realize it or not. It's just vibration we can see or not see or hear or not hear. Just like dogs can hear sounds, humans can't hear. We're swimming in it. So it's the most natural thing. And once I came to that realization, I found out spirit's everywhere. And so I love connecting to spirit through mediumship, tarot, both.
Yeah, it's just allowing ourselves to be open to what's there and what everybody gets. I tell people the same things when I do classes, particularly my intuition classes. It's like people are getting it all the time, but they're putting it aside, or they're doing the old, oh, it's just my imagination.
Yeah, it's like a three-step process. You have to expect it to happen. You have to trust it when it happens, and then you have to act on it. And if you expect, trust, and act, the stronger those messages and that communication will be for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the hardest thing is trust.
Yes, yes.
The hardest thing is trust.
Folks, is trust, because we're just going out on a limb. We're just waiting to see what happens in the moment. We're not preparing anything. It's just, boom, it just happens. And we just have to trust that. But the more we trust, the more, the stronger the communication is.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's the same thing for, you know, us too, Dan, as mediums. That was hard for me, because you get some messages and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I should share that, you know, with the client. And, you know, and exactly. And you learn to just trust what you get and give it. And as crazy as it might sound to me, it's very meaningful, you know, to the person getting the reading.
Exactly. And you trust, if you're drawn to something, like I stayed away from tarot the first 20 years of my life because I thought it was too out there, too strange, too weird, too woo-woo for me, but I was always drawn to it. And it wasn't until someone dared me to give them a reading, actually demanded that I give them a reading, that kind of broke through that thing of, like, I've always been drawn to this, but this really isn't me. You know, I'm a business person, and I wear a suit every day, and I work in a bank.
Yeah.
So trusting your yearning or your passion. So if any of your listeners have a passion for something in this realm, I really encourage them to follow through on that passion.
Yeah, so you just had to get pushed right into it, didn't you?
Yeah, we all need that little gentle nudge or kick in the seat of the pants. Every
well, time. I think that's how the universe works. It's
yes.
Like you sort of know what you should do, but you're comfortable with what you're doing and who you think you are and everything else. And it doesn't matter, you know, what you're talking about, whether you're talking about your job or a relationship. And then sooner or later, the universe gives you the big nudge.
Right, right. And if we continue to ignore it, the nudge will get bigger and bigger until we can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely.
That's how it works. So now, before we talk more about it, so
sure.
tell me a little bit about the tarot, because, you know, it's always been, it's been fascinating to me, but I just don't know that much about it.
Sure. Well, when most people think of tarot, they think of a deck of cards they see in a bookstore or online. Right now, traditionally, tarot is a deck of 78 cards, and the cards are separated into two categories, the major and the minor arcana, which is a fancy word for secrets. It was meant, originally started as playing cards, and then over time it evolved into something more esoteric and more of a divination piece. But it was first just a game of cards that people played long ago, and then over time people have modified tarot and created tarot cards to actually be meant for divination and connection and communication to spirit. So it's a deck of 78 cards that reflects life on the earth plane, but also spiritual energies and archetypes that influence our lives or we can tap into to create the lives that we like.
That's so interesting. So it actually did start as a game.
It sure did. That was in the 1400s or so. Yeah, the 1400s, 1420, 1440. And then over time, it wasn't until the 1700s, 1785, a gentleman by the name of Jean-Baptiste Eliot said, you know what, I want to do some divination. So he actually reversed the spelling of his last name and started using tarot for divination. And that's when tarot started being used for communication with spirit. So it started out as a playing card game for about 300 years. Then in the 1700s, around 1785, Jean-Baptiste Eliot decided, you know, I want to use this for divination. And since then, people have created tarot decks, modified tarot decks to help activate our awareness and our access to spiritual knowledge and connection.
Yeah, you know, you have to think that he was getting things just handling the cards that made him already sort of be using it that way.
Yeah, and certainly people, you know, they can look at tea leaves, they can look at palms, they can look at nature, they can look at pine cones, they can look at clovers and get messages. It's less about the activator, what I call the activator that I use. It's more about what works for me, what helps me bridge that gap or helps me connect to my spiritual connection and connection to my higher wisdom. And tarot is something that works for a lot of folks.
I like that you brought that out, Dan, because it's true. It's not necessarily that card deck, but like you said, it could be tea leaves, it could be anything. It's whatever works for you.
Absolutely. And that's the piece that Spirit is speaking to us all the time through every method possible. So it doesn't have to be a crystal ball. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be something I buy. It could be the lint screen I pull out of the dryer and go, wow, look at that. That reminds me of such and such. I'm like, oh, there's a message for me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It speaks in everyday language.
I think of that like with the clouds. I mean, do you always,
yeah.
How you look up at the clouds and, you know, you can see things, you know, and I always think, oh, that is so interesting, you know, because that looks just like, and then I think that's telling me, you know, three, you know, and then, you know, you go through different things with that, but it's definitely like that. And I always remember my grandmother used to have tiles in her bathroom, and they had different, like, just, I don't know, they were sort of like loose design on it. But I would look in there, it was sort of like looking at the clouds sometimes, and different things would pop out.
Yes, and if you notice too, like you'll look at the same cloud 1 minute and something pops out. You can look at it 30 seconds later and see something entirely different.
The
cloud hasn't shifted much, but your perception, or what I call what becomes figural for you, jumps out at you and like, oh, now I'm noticing that. That's your intuition, your higher guidance speaking to you.
Yeah, something else is coming up. So you know, I love that we brought that out, because now when people are looking at things and they see things, they'll understand that that's somebody's trying to get through to them with a message.
Yeah, Spirit is trying to speak to us all the time through a variety of avenues. It just depends on what avenue resonates with us, or we're most comfortable with, or that we're willing to try.
Yeah, and that's good, too, because it has to be something that we're comfortable with to get through, because otherwise we push it away.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be weird or strange. It's just every day. It happens all the time. I'm sure listeners know that, you know, their children seem to be connected with Spirit or might be aware of Spirit, and somehow over time that can get drummed out of our lives, or we get so focused on the earth plane existence that we just forget that, oh, yeah, I've got connection to my loved ones, whether they're here or have they passed on.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show too, Dan, that children are so in tune. In fact, most of them still have that ability to see and hear Spirit until they're about 7, and then they start to, you know, the world around them starts to sort of hone in on them, and people are telling them it's their imagination, and no, they don't have imaginary friends, et cetera, et cetera. And they start to lose it. But children, young children, are so tuned.
And that, I find that even with adults, that's the best way to help us reconnect with Spirit, is that element of play. When we're just in that playful mode and we're not worried about getting it right or have performance anxiety, when it's fun and it's playful, that's when that channel seems to be most open, and it's easiest for us to connect. So that element of play that we had as children really helps us as adults when we want to connect with Spirit.
Yeah, and it's so true. Well, and speaking of play.
Yes.
Oops, I'm hitting the microphone here. Did you hear that?
Okay.
Speaking of play.
Yes.
Let's take a little quiz. I know you have a little quiz about tarot.
Yes.
Myth or fact? I'm up for that.
All right. This is a quiz I use when I public presentations to help differentiate fact, which is something that we can identify historically, versus misconception or myth. And we'll see. We'll test your tarot.
All right. Well, I'm the perfect one since I know nothing. And I'm always up for it.
All right. Well, this first question we've already touched on. Tarot's origins have been traced to the time of the Egyptians. Is that a myth or is that a fact?
Well, I'm thinking that that's too old, that it was not that old.
Exactly. That is correct. It's actually a myth. The tarot originated in northern Italy in the 15th century, and there's no evidence for it originating in any other time or place.
So northern Italy.
Yes. 15th century, about 1420 to 1440.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, and the earliest cards were lavish hand-painted cards of nobility.
Oh. So
it was something that appealed to the upper classes and was also an homage to upper class noblemen and noble people.
So that is interesting to me, too, because, of course, that only makes sense because who could afford something like that?
Yes, yes. And again, as it evolved, it started out as playing cards. And who had money to play cards and maybe even gamble a little bit? But the folks who had the money to begin with.
Yeah.
So that's where tarot started out.
Yeah, who had time to play cards back in those days, except the nobility?
All right, here's another one for you.
Okay.
Gypsies were descendants from Egypt who introduced tarot to the people of Europe.
Well, I'm thinking not based on the fact that it started in Italy.
Yes. Absolutely. That idea was popularized in the 1800s by several writers, but there's not any basis in historical fact. There's no evidence. Most of the fortune-telling done by the Romani was through palmistry and later through the use of ordinary playing cards, but not so much tarot until the 20th century.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Since you're pretty smart, I've got to find a tough one for you, Jackie.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
All right. How about this? The 52-card deck that we play cards with evolved from the tarot. Myth or fact?
I'm thinking it did.
And most people do. In fact, playing cards actually predated the tarot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, based on historical research, they appeared about 50 years prior to the tarot's introduction. At least that's our awareness now. So playing cards predated tarot.
Okay.
And here's another one for you. How about the Catholic and Protestant churches outlawed tarot and all who used it in an effort to stamp out heretical teachings and or what was viewed as the work of the devil? Myth or fact?
I'm going to say that's a fact.
And again, most people would join you in that.
Oh, and it's wrong.
It actually is a myth. Current understanding is that chief inquisitors documented considerable detail what was heresy and what wasn't, and anything associated with gambling was outlawed, like regular playing cards. But by that time, tarot had representations of nobility and people of the church, and so it was exempted.
Oh, so because they used that as part of the pictures?
Yes, they used that as part of the pictures, and there were some religious figures. Later on, after the Reformation, the church did request, please remove any actual images of church figures from your deck, but they did not ban it. From their folks that attended their churches.
Okay.
So that's a common misunderstanding as well.
All right. Well, yeah, because I thought for sure. So interesting. So I guess it's hard to ban something that is depicting religious things when you're the church.
Yeah. Yes. Or if they're an honor or homage to that. And again, too, it was a regular playing deck for folks because it really wasn't until the 1700s or so that it started being used for divination. So at that time, it was more beautiful artwork, homage, playing decks, nobility, kind of running around those circles. And if you're the church, you probably don't want to alienate the folks who are contributing money. And that goes true whether you're a church or a business or anything. You're cognizant of where your money is coming from.
Yeah, I guess so. Although, the church did play around with some nobility.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Here's another one for you. There are literally hundreds of tarot decks available today, including the Tarot of Baseball and the Tarot of Cats.
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to say that's true.
That is a fact. Yes, indeed. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of decks, and that's really key for any of your listeners who might be interested in this, and that there's not one true tarot deck. There are hundreds, if not thousands, and find one that speaks to you. So they can be fun and playful, like the Tarot of Baseball and the Tarot of Cats, or they can be very esoteric and very spiritual, like the Rider-Waite deck and others.
So it's really the pictures that are the baseball and cats, but the same subjects or the same sections or would be represented on each thing regardless, right?
In some of the decks. There's okay. not necessarily consistency between each deck, but and pictures actually weren't printed on tarot cards until about 1909. The deck, the Rider-Waite deck that most of us think of when we think of tarot, was the first deck to have pictures on all of the cards. Prior to that, if it was a Five of Wands, you would just have five wands on the card. You wouldn't have a picture or a scene or any people on it. It wasn't until 1909 when Alfred Waite and Pamela Coleman Smith created the Waite-Smith deck that pictures were on every card. So the beauty of this is that depending on the art and what interests you, you can find a tarot deck that appeals to you. The piece that we have to be aware of is that not every deck says the same thing in every card or means the same thing in every card. And it doesn't have to be, because it's all about what speaks to you.
Okay. All right. That's interesting, because I would have thought they always would have had pictures since they started out with those hand-painted cards.
Yes, you would think, and you would think that each card has the same meaning for every tarot reader, and that is also untrue. The same card could mean hundreds of different meanings for hundreds of different readers. So,
oh, that is interesting, Dan. I would not have thought of that either. I would have thought this card, you know, whether it's this Five of Wands that you talked about, means the same thing, you know, whatever deck it's in or who's ever reading it.
We can certainly get a book or do some research that tells us, you know, the Five of Wands means such and such, but that organizes the spirit right out of the card, and it negates your intuition. Tarot is an art, as well as a science, as well as communication with spirit. It's not just an intellectual exercise. And so that's the beauty of tarot, is that you get to create and experience what the card means for you rather than rely on someone else's interpretation.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, all right. Well, Gil, do we need to take a break now?
We can if you want.
All right, well, let's make this our 9:30-ish break.
9:30-ish.
And we'll be right back, everyone.
Okay, this portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services. We'll be back after this.
Okay, everybody, we're back. And this morning, my guest is Dan Johnson, psychic medium and certified professional tarot reader. And we've been talking about what the tarot is and what it isn't. And Dan was giving me a little tarot myth or fact quiz. I don't know how I was doing, but I was having a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, you did. You did just fine. Absolutely.
Oh, so Dan, you know, I know there's things that you can do with tarot, and I'm assuming like a lot of other oracles, like the angel cards and things, that you could pick like a card and give us sort of a general reading.
Sure. There are many different ways. And so during the commercial break, I just selected a card for what's up for us. And I love that tarot shows us the way the wind is blowing, and it's really about empowerment. We get to set our sail, but the tarot will show us which way the wind is blowing. Where is the energy moving? And if I like it, keep doing what I'm doing. If I don't like it, then I can shift my sail to create the future or manifest what I want. So it's never about this is predetermined and this is definitely going to be happening and you have no choice. It's all about choices. So this is the way the wind is blowing.
I like that.
So right now, during the commercial break, the card that Spirit asked me to select was the Nine of Swords. And the Nine of Swords depicts a person rising up in bed with their head in their hands, and on their bedspread or their quilt are all the astrological signs as well as red roses. And then there are swords hanging on the wall, nine swords. And what this card indicates is that for right now, for us and any of us listening live or later on, is that we have the energy and the support of the entire world all around us. That quilt with all the astrological signs and the red roses means that's the energy and that's the power of all the spiritual realm. It's right on us. But we are so deep in worry or fear or concern, our head in our hands, we don't see it.
Oh.
We're so overwhelmed with thoughts that keep us away from our spiritual nature or worry or concern that we aren't aware of it. So all that power is at our fingertips. It surrounds us like this blanket, but we're not aware of it. And we just need to simply remove those hands from our eyes and be aware of it and experience it and know and draw upon it. So it's there, but we don't often see it or take advantage of it.
Right, so it's a reminder to let go of some of the worry and angst that consumes us sometimes and be open to what's out there that is helping us.
And be aware and trust that that is out there for us. We just have to tap into it. And it's up to us whether we choose to tap into that or not. And, you know, like me earlier, I kind of needed a kick in the pants to tap into that.
Yeah, so you needed the big shove.
Right. So that's the general theme for those of us who are listening right now.
Yeah, I thought the red roses was interesting on that card.
Yeah, that's our passion. You know, roses, there's a lot of ways to read tarot, but roses, for me, oftentimes symbolize passion. So I've got some passion about this. So it's not, oh, isn't that a nice spiritual realm and I'm very passive and I meditate. This card is saying we need to grab onto it, latch onto it, make it real, put it into action.
Yeah.
So rather than just sitting there and waiting for something to happen, let me work with spirit to create what I want versus feeling like I have to do it all on my own. I can work with spirit and create it much faster and in a much happier fashion.
And I the other thing that speaks to me, Dan, is that, you know, we have to do our part too.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just sit there and passively wait for something to dump in our laps.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, that spirit, you know, is going to work with us, but work with us. We have to do our part of the job too.
Yeah, and that's where the inspiration comes about. There's inspiration versus motivation, and inspired action are the things I want to do. Spirit will inspire us to do things. It'll inspire us to talk to folks or make a phone call or do some research. Motivation comes from outside of us, meaning we're forced to do it. Someone's making me do it.
Right.
I needed motivation to read the tarot, even though I was inspired to do so.
Right.
So spirit is really inspiring us to access it and follow that inspiration and not worry about what the end game is. It's just the next step. It inspires us to the next step, then the next step, and we trust that each step will lead us to where we want to be versus having to know exactly where we're going to end up 3 months, 3 years from now.
Yeah, which of course we can't because everything is, you know, always evolving, always changing.
Yeah.
You know, so, thank you, Dan. That was that was wonderful.
All right. And I also want to acknowledge that's easier said than done.
Yes.
So even though we follow our inspiration each step of the way, sometimes it's easier said than done. It's like, you know, I want to know, am I going to do this by the end of 2014? Give me a guarantee, you know. So we're
I
all
know,
human.
It's the big whens. I always say everybody, is the when is the big question always.
Right. So I have some ways that we can experience and learn about tarot that I'd like to share with your listeners if you think that would be helpful.
That would be perfect.
So there are many ways, and for those who are interested, some of these come from my workshops with Mary Kay Greer, who's a fabulous, fabulous tarot author and tarot reader herself. But certainly those of us who are intellectually inclined can look up the definitions in a book and memorize those, and that might be a good basis. I would encourage folks to not use that as the only way, but certainly there are memorized definitions for each card. The other piece that we can do is look at the card and just notice what emotions or feelings or attitudes of the figures or the card, what emotions does that evoke? And there could be a message in that for me as well.
It's sort of like holding that card and maybe meditating on it a little bit to see what comes to you.
Mm-hmm. And noticing right in that moment, too. So we can meditate, and then we can also notice right in that moment. Because I don't know about you, Jackie, but sometimes my left brain comes in and I start intellectualizing and
yes.
explaining away versus noticing, right in that moment, you know, what's popping up for me. You can also use it as a trigger, like looking at a card or experiencing a card, does it pop up a memory for you? So it could be a memory, and that memory might have some meaning for you. One of my favorite techniques when I do workshops is I have students tell a fairy tale about the card, and they tell that fairy tale to another student. Then after they tell the fairy tale, I ask them to share the same fairy tale but use the first person. So every action and everything is about them. And there's often many deep meanings in that card based on the fairy tale that they'd created once they started making it in the first person.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like looking at that card and you let your mind give you a story.
Yes.
And then it turns out that story may be exactly the message for you and what's going on or what's coming for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I have folks tell the fairy tale first so that they're not thinking about themselves or thinking about what's right or wrong or what's too far out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of, I don't want to say trick them, but then I kind of switch gears a little bit saying, okay, now tell the fairy tale about yourself. And people are astounded, like, oh, wow, yeah, this fits and this fits for me. So fairy tale is another way that we can read the cards.
Okay, that's interesting. I like that one.
For those of us who are journaling-oriented, we can dialogue with a card. And this is one of the things I like to do is I'll take a card, look at it, and then I will dialogue it in writing. So I'll ask it a question, it'll answer me, and sometimes the card asks me questions, and I just dialogue. And I like to dialogue actually for 3 pages to get some deep meaning. So I find that it's not always me asking the card questions. Sometimes the card asks me questions. So I can dialogue.
So it's almost like automatic writing where you're just writing without censoring what you're writing. You just put 3 pages of writing down.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like I said, and then the card said, and then I said.
And then the card asked me, and I'm like, well, where did that come from? And so this is how I answer. So that's when you know you're kind of in the flow. And it usually takes about a page or a page and a half for us to kind of get in the flow and stop thinking and just going with what's coming to us. So I like to encourage folks to do that for about 3 pages each morning. It can go relatively quickly. Don't worry about how well you're spelling or how pretty your handwriting works. Just let it flow.
Okay.
Another way I like folks to experience cards is embodying the card. And that means they take on the posture or position of the figures in the card and actually feel that and hold that for a while.
Oh, interesting. So whatever you see, is there always a person in the card?
There are oftentimes, in the Rider-Waite deck, there are often people in the card. And if not, then you find out what becomes figural. In other words, what stands out in that card. So if it's a table or if it's a flower, just take that position or imagine yourself as that flower or that table or that disc or that wand and just experiencing, what does that feel like? You know, so I worked with a student recently who was attracted to a wand that was on the card. So she just stood tall and had her hands by her side, and she just felt that power. It's like, oh, this is giving me that power. I'm feeling like I'm giving my power away. And this wand is telling me to reclaim my power and remind me of how powerful I am.
Okay, so she could just feel that.
Yes, it's a visceral thing. I really like people to experience tarot. It's an experiential thing that appeals to all our senses.
Well, I like the different things that you do in your class there, Dan, because it really focuses on the different ways that people get messages, because some of it could be literally hearing, you know, the dialogue.
Yes.
Some of it could be sensory, where you're, you know, making that posture and you're feeling how that feels. So it's interesting how you have a way of pulling all that in for people so they can feel it in different ways.
Well, I really like people to trust their own guidance. You know, when people come to me for a reading, I'm happy to share Spirit's guidance, but my job is to help people access and trust their own wisdom. And so when I help people learn tarot or experience tarot, that's my end game.
Yeah, I love that, because you're putting the power back to them.
Right. And one other way I want to share with your listeners very quickly is what I call an affirmation, and that's AFFORMATION, based on a book by Noah St. John. And that is choosing a card consciously, saying, I want more of this energy in my life, and then making an affirmation. So, for example, if I'm feeling less than powerful and I want to feel powerful, I might choose the King of Pentacles, and I might put it in front of me and say, create an affirmation. How am I powerful? What makes me powerful now? And that's an affirmation where I ask myself, how do I have this energy right now?
Well, you know, Dan, that is a term that I have never heard before. I'm familiar to affirmations, you know, but not an affirmation.
Yeah, there's a book by Noah St. John, and it really tuned me into, sometimes when we say affirmations, we keep repeating something, but we really don't believe it.
Right.
But in the affirmation process is that we're all wired to answer questions. The human being is wired to answer questions. So if I ask the question as if I already have what I want, immediately my brain and all my energy goes to identifying all the ways that I already have what I want, and that strengthens that energy or that sense within me and helps bring more of that to my life.
That's very interesting, Dan, because there's a lot of different things that are focused on the question.
Yeah.
And how that really puts more energy into everything and how it makes the energy move. So I find that very fascinating. Noah St. John.
Yes, Noah St. John is a book called Affirmations. I recommend it.
All right, I'm going to have to look for that, because I've been doing some things with questions myself lately, and I didn't know.
Yeah, and some of the techniques that I've been sharing with you are in Mary Kay Greer's books, Tarot for Yourself and 21 Ways to Read a Tarot Card. I really owe a lot to her and many other teachers I've studied with, because they really helped me trust my own wisdom, which I really, that's my biggest wish for all of your listeners, to be able to trust their own guidance.
Well, I'm happy, so happy, Dan, that you have started to do that and learned to do that for yourself, because you are phenomenal at what you do, and I'm sure that you are such a blessing to people who come to you. So let's tell everybody, because believe it or not, time flies,
sure,
and we're down to about a minute. Let's please tell people how they can find out more about you and get a hold of you.
Sure. My website is danielthemedium.com. That's danielthemedium.com, and my phone number, email address, all that kind of stuff is on that website. So danielthemedium.com.
Okay, very good. And so I would encourage people, if you'd like to find out more, or Dan, do you do tarot over the phone?
I do tarot over the phone. I do tarot over Skype, and all of my readings include an MP3 recording that you can download afterwards, because I find a lot of wisdom that we didn't quite catch during the reading. Once people listen to it a week or two or a month later, they hear different things in that same reading. So everything includes an MP3.
Perfect. Wonderful. All right, Dan. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. This was fascinating.
It was my pleasure and an honor, Jackie. And you are a bright light, and I always enjoy interacting with you and being with you. Thanks for being who you are.
Oh, thank you, Dan. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, this portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're back. And I wanted to tell, I want to thank Dan again, because he is just phenomenal at what he does. So if you're interested in tarot, and I think I may have to try this myself, because like I said, when you find somebody that you feel comfortable with and you trust, it makes it so easy to do. So next week, we'll be welcoming back Betsy Cohen, also known as Psychic Betsy, who's a psychic medium and inspirational speaker. She was named one of the top 10 psychics in New York, and she's a regular contributor to the Daily Love magazine. And her greatest passion is teaching tangible ways for people to tune into their own innate intuitive abilities. So we're going to be talking to Betsy, and she's always a pleasure. And I'm sure she's going to be giving us even more tips again on how you can do that. And tune into your intuition as well. And speaking of tuning into your intuition, I also have a workshop coming up, Opening Your Intuition, Turn on Your Own Innate Psychic Abilities. So that's coming up Saturday, July 19th, and it's going to be a morning class from 9 to 1 at the Eichelberger Professional Center in Hanover. So take this first step in spiritual and psychic development. I think that you will love this class. It'll tell you how intuition can work in your life, how to stop doubting yourself, because as Dan and I were saying, trust is the big thing for everything, and give you a little insight into connecting to spirit and your guides as well. So it really teaches you how you can start to trust your gut and tune into signs and messages that you're getting yourself. So hopefully you'd like to join me. You can call my office at 717-968-5289. Again, that's 717-968-5289 to register or ask questions. Okay, everybody, I'll be back with you next Tuesday with Betsy, and we'll have more Heart to Heart talking to spirit and animals. See you then.
Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau has been brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services. Stay tuned now for the news coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll take a look at Real Country Radar weather, and then it's time for Better Living.
Friends, this is T-Texas Tyler with a strange story about a soldier boy and a deck of cards. During the North African campaign, a bunch of soldier boys had been on a long hike, and they arrived in a little town called Casino. The next morning being Sunday, several of the boys went to church. A sergeant commanded the boys in church, and after the chaplain had read the prayer, the text was taken up next. Those of the boys who had a prayer book took them out. But this one boy had only a deck of cards, and so he spread them out. The sergeant saw the cards and said, "Soldier, put away those cards." After the services was over, The soldier was taken prisoner and brought before the provost marshal. The marshal said, "Sergeant, why have you brought this man here?" "For playing cards in church, sir. And what have you to say for yourself, son?" "Much, sir," replied the soldier. The marshal said, "I hope so, for if not, I shall punish you more than any man was ever punished." The soldier said, "Sir, I've been on the march for about 6 days. I had neither Bible nor prayer book, but I hope to satisfy you, sir, with the purity of my intentions." With that, the boy started his story. "You see, sir, when I look at the ace, it reminds me that there is but one God. And the deuce reminds me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. And when I see the tray, I think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I see the four, I think of the four evangelists who preached the gospel. There was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when I see the five, it reminds me of the five wise virgins who trimmed their lamps. There were 10 of them. 5 were wise and were saved. 5 were foolish and were shut out. And when I see the 6, it reminds me that in 6 days God made this great heaven and earth. When I see the 7, it reminds me that on the 7th day God rested from his great work. And when I see the 8, I think of the 8 righteous persons God saved when he destroyed this earth. There was Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives. And when I see the 9, I think of the lepers our Savior cleansed. And 9 out of the 10 didn't even thank him. When I see the 10, I think of the 10 commandments God handed down to Moses on a table of stone. When I see the king, it reminds me there is but one king of heaven, God Almighty. And when I see the queen, I think of the blessed Virgin Mary, who is queen of heaven, and the jack or knave is the devil. When I count the number of spots on a deck of cards, I find 365, the number of days in a year. There's 52 cards, the number of weeks in a year. There's 4 suits, the number of weeks in a month. There's 12 picture cards, the number of months in a year. There's 13 tricks, the number of weeks in a quarter. So you see, sir, my pack of cards serves me as a Bible, almanac, and prayer book. And friends, this story's true. I know because I was that soldier.
From the Country Music Hall of Fame to the Grand Ole Opry stage, we play country's legendary songs. Real Country, WHVR, Hanover.